Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Ephesians chapter 3, and now we're going to start in verse 11. Should believers ever have mental problems? I'm not saying could they, I say should they. No, we really shouldn't. I know it's a possibility. But really, we shouldn't have mental problems. We should never be plagued with depression, which of course I think is one of the forerunners of a lot of mental problems. Because, goodness, what have we got going for us? And we've got it so good in America. Last night I just couldn't sleep a lot of the time thinking of those poor people in Yugoslavia and Albania and what have you. And we're so spoiled. You know, I've told my class here in Oklahoma, that's almost my every morning prayer. Lord, I know I'm spoiled. How could I handle it if all of a sudden... In fact, I told Iris this morning when I got up, just for example, just so we put a little reality on all this, what if all of a sudden Texas was a sovereign country and they would just literally move up to the eastern half of Oklahoma, which I suppose is about the size of Kosovo, and all the way from I-35 to the Arkansas border, they would just literally cleanse the land of all of us. You ever think of it that way? And they would just literally machine gun us out until we either flee to Arkansas or Kansas or Missouri and leave everything behind. Now, I don't care what their religion or what the situation, they're people. They're people, and God loves them. And they hurt. I'll tell you, it's awful. And we sit here so complacent, and we've got so much. But whatever, I don't know what brought that out. That we are not to have fear, but we're to have power and love and a sound mind. Now verse 8, so be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now you see, you can have all kinds of preaching, and the world doesn't get upset with that. The only time the world will get upset with preaching is when the power of God begins to transform lives. That the world doesn't want. And they're going to fight it tooth and toenail. But you see, Paul says that even though the power of God is being exemplified, we still don't have to fear. Because he is sovereign, remember? He is the one who is supreme. All right, but now verse 9 is the verse I wanted to get to. The power of God in verse 9, who, speaking of God, has saved us. Past tense. It's done. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, holy doesn't mean angelically pure or sinless or anything like that. The word holy in Scripture simply means set apart. Because you see, even the vessels in the temple, the shovels and the tongs and the various things they used for the fire and the sacrifice, they were holy. Why? Because they were set apart only for temple use. And you see, that's when Nebuchadnezzar and his offspring got in trouble. They took those utensils out of the temple in Jerusalem, took them back to Babylon, and incorporated them into their pagan worship. And boom, the wrath of God came down because those utensils were holy. Now, you know, a utensil is inanimate, but it was still set apart for God's use. All right, now that's what the word means even for us. It doesn't mean we're going to be holy or like an angel or any of these things, but we are set apart for God's purposes. All right, now let's read on. So he has called us and set us apart by his calling. And oh, thank God he didn't call you and I according to our works, But he called us according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. Now that goes back to the unsearchables again, doesn't it? How in the world can I comprehend that before anything was ever created, God already knew that I would be what I am, where I am. He knew you, what you would be, what you would do. There was nothing hidden from him. And it was all in his divine purposes. His whole scheme of things as it was laid out from eternity past. All right, now then back to Ephesians 3. So verse 11 again. Everything that we comprehend of the mysteries is all part and purpose, part and parcel of his eternal purposes, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all that means is, why did Christ come? Well, we always teach that first and foremost, he came to the nation of Israel to be their Messiah and their King. But the overall purpose was to die for the sins of mankind, to be the Savior of the whole human race, and to be our Lord for not just time, but for all eternity. All right, now verse 12. You remember when we started the book of Ephesians, I said 90 sometimes, 96 I think. You have the prepositional phrase, in him, in whom, in Christ, because this little book is what? Positional. Where are we as believers? We're not just members of a local church on the corner, although that's absolutely apropos, but we're members of the bigger picture. We're members of the body of Christ, which is universal in scope. And when we come into the body of Christ, we have a union with Christ. The world knows nothing of. Now, you want to remember that a lot of church members are not in the body of Christ. A lot of them. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Because we have multitudes of church people who have never had this kind of a salvation experience where God places them into the body. See, this is why I'm always maintaining. Baptism, of course, has always been a controversy from the very onset of Christianity. And people get all hung up if you don't practice it according to their format, or this way or that way. But listen, Paul puts baptism way down at the bottom of everything. Because that's not the important thing. The important thing is, are you in the body of Christ? And listen, I don't care who you are, I don't care what denomination you belong to, you know as you look out over your congregation that there are people who have been baptized, whatever form your denomination demands, who are no more saved than the dog out there on the street. You know that. They have no new life, they have no love for the Word, they have no love for the Lord. Oh, but they've been baptized, see? And so this is why that's not what counts. What counts, are we in the body of Christ? Are we positioned where God wants to position us? All right. So in whom? Verse 12. In whom we have, what's that next word? Boldness. What does most religion do to people? That's right. It just puts them down in the dust where they grovel. And they live in superstition and fear. That's what religion does. But, listen, to be in the body of Christ gives us a boldness that the world, again, knows nothing of. Now, read on. We have boldness, and not only a boldness, but what's the next word? Access. Access to what? The throne room. The throne room. Now, jump ahead to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, honey. You know, I forget to give the verse, and then when it's time to read it, she's still got to find it. So I usually hear a little bit about it on the way home. Now, why don't you give the verse? So, bless her heart, I'm going to try and remember to give her time to find it. But Hebrews 4, verse 16. Oh, don't worry. I mean, she's not the kind that gets tough. She's as sweet as sugar, believe me. But verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us, now Paul is talking to believers, Let us therefore come, what's the next word? Boldly. See, we don't grovel. We don't come shaking in our boots because we're in the throne room. But we come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's why I call it the throne room. Heaven itself. So let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace again to help in our time of need. Read it again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Isn't that something? That's not what religion teaches. Religion is going to make you go through all kinds of contortions and ritual and what have you. But you and I as a believer have instant access all day long, 24 hours a day. The throne room is open. Unbelievable, isn't it? All right, back to Ephesians chapter 3. So verse 12 again. In this position in Christ as a believer, as an heir of Christ, as one of His own, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith. And I hope I'm not doing injustice to Scripture. I like the word faithfulness of Him. Now, I've looked it up in the Greek, and it really doesn't say that. It does say the word faith. But like I say, I hope I'm not doing any injustice here. Because after all, it's Christ's faithfulness that makes everything that we enjoy possible. And when I say faithfulness, I mean that He has never failed. He will never fail. We don't ever have to wonder, did He really do it all? Did He really finish the work of salvation? We don't ever have to question that because we know He did. And He is faithful, and we can place our confidence in that faithfulness. All right, now then we've got time to go into a prayer of the apostle on behalf of you and I as believers. It's one of the two or three prayers of the apostle Paul. Verse 13, wherefore, because again of this position, because of our understanding of the revelation of the mystery, wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, again, we know the apostle suffered beyond our imagination for the sake of the gospel going to these Gentiles. But now verse 14. So for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, here comes a prayer of the apostle on behalf of you and I as believers, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now here it comes. That He, Christ, would grant you, the believer, according to the riches of His glory. In other words, everything that is Christ in glory, the whole bank of heaven, has been made available to who? To you and I. It's all there. All right? And that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Now, I think I remember long time ago putting a term on the board, and I think it's probably about time I get it back on here once again. And that is the Greek word, pneuma. Who remembers the second one? Hagion. That away. The pneuma hagion. The pneuma, of course, is the spirit, but the hagion really means the power from where? On high. Now, the pneuma hagion, of course, is precipitated by the indwelling Spirit. But when we live from day to day and the Spirit is within us, we aren't always drawing on the pneuma hagion. But we draw on the pneuma hagion, the power from on high. What do you suppose I pray for every morning before I come up the tape for programs? The pneuma hagion. I don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. I know I have Him. But oh, I pray for the power from on high. And I think it behooves every one of us. As you go through life and you face various trials and decisions, you don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. You've got Him. But all we can pray for the outpouring of that pneuma hagion. And I think this is what he's talking about in verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. The pneuma hagion by his Spirit. And where's the Spirit? In the inner man. He's there. Don't ever ask for the Holy Spirit. You've got Him. But we can ask for an increase of His power. All right, now verse 17, as we continue His prayer. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? By faith. See? By faith. And again, what's faith? Taking God at His Word. You know, so often people will say, well, how do I know that I've been placed into the body of Christ? Because the Bible says so. That's all we have to go on. We don't get a diploma. We don't get a great big emotional high. We don't get, like someone wrote one time, the trees 10 shades greener and the sunset suddenly redder. No, that doesn't all part of it. So how do I know I'm in the body of Christ? Because the Bible says so. How do I know that I have the indwelling Spirit? Because Paul says so. See? Let's go back and look at it again. Been a long time since we were in Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, I hope it is. Yeah. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3 and come down to verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. Now this is plain, simple language. Know you not, Paul says, that you, the individual believer, are the what? The temple of God. And that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, dwelleth where? In you. Now again, to just point up Paul's revelations, and again, I think this is all part of the mystery. Did you ever read of this in the Old Testament? That the believers were indwelt by the Holy Spirit? No. No way. Now, they knew of the Holy Spirit, but you want to remember, just like David and Samson, and there were many, many others, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, but He wasn't there permanently. He could leave at the drop of a hat, and of course, that was what happened to Samson. See, whenever the Holy Spirit left off with Samson, he was as weak as a dish rag, we say, but when the Spirit was upon him, he had all kinds of power, see? All right, now here Paul is making it so plain then that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. How do I know the Holy Spirit is in? I don't feel Him. I don't hear Him talking to me. I'm not one of those that hears God talk out loud. Maybe some people do, but I don't. I've never yet heard Him talk audibly to me. Now, I think He affects our thinking, our thoughts. And as we study the Scripture, yes, God speaks. But to hear Him say, now, Les, I want you to do this, I've never had that happen. And I just am a little bit dubious when people talk like that, because the Bible doesn't teach that. But we do have the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. All right, back to Ephesians, chapter 3. So the Holy Spirit, Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit, really, verse 17 again, is dwelling in our hearts by faith. That's our only way of knowing. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now, whenever I come to that verse, I haven't got a lot of mathematical background, but I've got enough to know that you and I, in all of our geometry and trigonometry, how many dimensions do we normally think of? Three. How many have you got here? Four. And now I read the other day where science thinks there's as many as 10 dimensions. 10. Well, I'm just thrilled to the fact that there's a supernatural fourth one. I don't know what they're going to do with the other six, but nevertheless, this is a supernatural dimension because we live in the world of three: height, width, length. But see, here you've got a fourth one. Now, when I say I think that this is in the realm of the spiritual, that's exactly what I mean. That there is a dimension to the Christian life that the secular world cannot explain. I don't think you and I can explain it. But it is a dimension that brings us up into an understanding of the things of God that we don't get until we become a believer. Now, let me come back and show that. 1 Corinthians again. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Well, might as well go up and use verse 9. I never have been able to read it since they told me where it was. But here it is now, so let's use it. Here's a good time to use it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Boy, that's quite a statement, isn't it? But, flip side, God has revealed those things to us by his Spirit. Now I've got to stop a minute. How many times I've had people ask me, and I dare say that every one of you have wondered, what are we going to do in eternity? Yeah, you're all lighting up. Oh, you wish I could tell you, don't you? Well, I can't. All I know is that we're going to be busy, we're going to be active, and we are not just going to sit on a cloud and strum a harp. That I know. But beyond that, I can't begin because God has kept this from us. But like I said in an earlier program, this much I know. Eternity is going to be so fabulous that anything you can think of on this planet's existence is just going to pale into insignificance compared to the joys and the pleasure that God is preparing for us. All right, but we do have a glimpse because the Holy Spirit has given us an inkling of it. See? Verse 10, reading on. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now let me stop again. I usually like to give an example. You take out here in the material world, in the secular world, if you have somebody who is a real expert in his field, and I usually like to use an auto mechanic, a real auto mechanic, and he just loves his work. Greasy and dirty as it may be, he loves to be a mechanic. All right, now let me ask you. If you were to ask that fellow a question about the workings of a gasoline engine, the engine in your car, is he going to get real timid and just put his tail between his legs and walk away? No. What's he going to do? Hey, he's going to let you know everything he knows about an engine. He's going to be proud of his knowledge. Isn't that right? He's never going to walk away. All right. Now, that's exactly what God wants us to be with the Word of God. We should be so confident in our knowledge that when somebody asks us a question, we don't turn around and try to avoid, but instead, we're willing to just open the Scriptures. Well, I'm not even going to be able to finish this. We'll come back after a while, but let's read on for the next 15 seconds. For what man knoweth the things of man, say the spirit of man, even so the things of God knoweth no man except how? By the Spirit of God that's within you.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.